Thank you so much, Brother Johnny, and good evening, everyone. It's good to be here with you again, and we pray the Lord will bless his word to our hearts this evening. I'm going to ask that we read a familiar portion of scripture found in the book of Exodus, the 12th chapter. We will not read all of it, but just a portion of it for the sake of time. Exodus chapter 12. It is the very well-known story of the Passover, the institution of the Passover, and the redemption from Egypt by God for the Israelites. In verse 12 of Exodus chapter 12, he says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, both men and beasts, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." I'm sure that the Lord will bless this portion of his word to our hearts tonight. As you study the scriptures, you will find that there are a number of dramatic scenes in the word of God. And many times they occur at night. This is one of the times when something dramatic occurred at night. You have Nicodemus coming to the Lord by night. You had the visit of the angels to Sodom by night, and so on. But this is a night, I believe, if you would term this, in the history of the nation of Israel, it could be termed, and in our thinking, a night to remember. It was a night to remember because the Lord was about to do something dramatic, not only in the land of Egypt, but for his earthly people. And there are three things about this night that I'd like to leave with you this evening. First of all, it was a night of provided redemption. It was a night of provided redemption. As you know, if you know the story, the Israelites were slaves now in Egypt. The first chapter of Exodus declares there arose another Pharaoh who knew not Moses, or rather Joseph. And God raised up Moses to deliver his people because this Pharaoh saw how the children of Israel were multiplying as God had told Abraham they would. And so he decided to institute drastic measures to stop this growth, this phenomenal growth of the nation. And of course, everything he tried failed because he was battling against the God of the universe. And you cannot battle against the Lord God of heaven and win the battle. You will lose every time. There are so many people who think they can fight God and win. You can't. So he thought he could win. Then God raised up Moses, as you know, reluctantly, but he finally came, and then Aaron. And as you know, there was plague after plague, judgment after judgment upon the land of Israel. And each time it says Pharaoh hardened his heart, he would not let the people of Israel go. The final plague before this one was darkness so intense that it could be felt. And yet the scripture records that there was light in the houses of the children of Israel. You see, God was making a very clear line of demarcation between those that are his and those that are not. And the scripture records that those that do not know the Lord are in darkness, but those who know the Lord are in a state of light. There's a difference. But these people were in bondage. They were slaves. And the Bible tells us that this pictures the life of the sinner. For the Bible describes the sinner as being a slave to his sin. That's why redemption is needed. Redemption means to buy back. And the person without Christ is a slave to sin, Jesus said. In John 8:34, whoever commits sin is the servant or the slave of sin. In 1 John 3:4 and 5, it says these words, that whosoever committeth sin transgresses the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And we know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sin, and in him is no sin. So the person without Christ, if you're here tonight or listening to this message, you are without Christ, you are a sinner, and you are a slave to your sin. And you need the redemption that God has provided for you through Jesus Christ. These people were slaves to sin. But they were in Egypt. And Egypt is a type of the world in the scripture. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, you hath he quickened who, or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conduct or your manner of life in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by children, by nature, the children of wrath, even as others. But then verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy. Hallelujah for that but. Praise God. And so it describes the condition of the person without Christ, not only enslaved to sin, but also in bondage to the devil. And that was the problem with the Israelites. And they were subject to Satan. And I want to say, my friend, very lovingly tonight, listening to this message, that if you have never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, listen to what the Bible says. Not what this preacher is saying, but what the Bible says is your condition before God. You are a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And the Bible says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And I say this lovingly, but every community in these islands has a cemetery. Every community has a cemetery. And one of the reasons why, it's because it's a fulfillment of what God's word says. The wages of sin is death. Just not spiritual death, physical death. And oh, my friend tonight, if you're here without Christ, I want you to see the picture of these people. And they were in bondage. They were enslaved. They had no freedom. They were unhappy. They cried out, the scripture says, and God said to Moses, the cry of my people has come up. I have seen their affliction. I am going to do something about it. And I praise God that he has done something about man's condition. We'll come to this in a moment. But this was their condition. This was their problem. They were enslaved. They were subject to a master, a terrible, awful master. Friends, I want to say tonight that the devil is a terrible master. The devil will do everything he can to destroy your life, your very being. He is a murderer, the Lord Jesus described him as. He is a liar. He is a destroyer. And his sole object is to destroy you. And that's why we preach the gospel message. And I make no apologies for preaching the message of the gospel. Because praise God, as Paul said to the Romans, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Hallelujah for the message of the gospel. I preach it, my friends, unashamedly. And I preach it because I've seen God work in the lives of people and bringing them to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us, these people, this was their condition. This is your condition tonight. Listening to this message, you have never received the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, and the Bible says that you are a sinner. The Bible says there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Even in the book of Ecclesiastes, the wise man made this tremendous statement. He said, there is not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. Oh, that you can only recognize your condition before God. The need that you have in your life. Like these people, enslaved in bondage to sin, to Satan, to the flesh.
But praise God, it was not only a night of provided redemption, because you see, God provided the way of redemption. God said to Moses, you are to take a lamb for a house. That lamb is to be without blemish. God said to them, this is their personal now responsibility. It's a night of personal responsibility. He says, this is what I want you to do. You are to take that lamb. You are to keep it from the 10th day to the 14th day of the month. On the 14th day of the month, you are to take and you are to kill that lamb. And you are to let the blood of that lamb run into a basin. You are to take that blood and you are to take the hyssop and you are to dip it in that blood and you are to sprinkle it on the top door post and the two side posts of your door. And he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over or hover over you. I will protect you. Now you see, they had to follow the prescription that God gave for their deliverance. They had to have a lamb. As you study this 12th chapter of Exodus, you will not see anywhere where it says, your lambs, your lambs, your lambs. It says, your lamb, your lamb, your lamb. Because in God's eyesight, there was only one lamb. And in the sight of the Lord, there is only one lamb. And John the Baptizer said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Those lambs looked as one because it spoke of a day coming when the Lamb of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, would go to the cross of Calvary and he would hang there and he would shed his precious blood and he would indeed take away the sin of the world. He would pay the price for sin because like the lamb in the book of Exodus, the lamb of the Lord Jesus Christ was spotless. The Bible says he was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. He was spotless. Peter said that we are redeemed with the blood of the Lamb as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. The offering of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary has provided a way of salvation for men who are enslaved in their sin, men who are lost in their sin, to come and find redemption. It was a night of provided redemption. God provided the redemption, but it was also a night of personal responsibility. But you know, the lamb, as nice as it was, could not do anything for them until it was slain. It had to die. I would imagine that the children, you know how children are with creatures, they got very attached to that little lamb. Beautiful little creature, and I'm sure some of the men have said when the 14th day of the month came and they saw Daddy take the lamb and he took the knife and he took the basin and he took the hyssop, Daddy, does that lamb really have to die? He's so cute, he's so pretty, he's so nice. Don't kill it, Daddy. And Daddy would look at that particular the firstborn and he would say, my child, unless this lamb dies, you will die. There is no other way. And so the lamb had to be slain. That was the second thing. It was a spotless lamb, but it had to be slain. There's an old hymn that I quote so oftentimes. Beautiful old hymn beginning, there is a green hill far away. There was none other, says the hymn writer, good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. And oh, my friend tonight, listen, if you are here without Christ or listening to this message, you are a sinner, you know it. Listen, I want to tell you the good news tonight, that the Lamb has been slain and the Lord Jesus Christ has paid the price for sin. He died for our sins, he was buried and he rose again the third day. And hallelujah, he tonight is offering salvation. But you have to come to that point where you have to accept it for yourself. Peter said, we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold from our vain conduct received by tradition from our fathers, but with the precious blood of a lamb, of the lamb without blemish and without spot. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, in his masterpiece on the resurrection, he said these words, I declare unto you the gospel in verse 1. In verses 3 and 4, he said, this is the gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. My friend, tonight I ask you and I invite you to look to the Lamb of God. No, you do not have to take a lamb like the Israelites did in Egypt. You only have to look to the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. For the blood has been shed. The Savior has died and has risen again. But you see, it's a night of personal responsibility. The blood had to be applied to the door. I can also imagine some of the youngsters in that house, the firstborn, going to the daddy and saying, now, daddy, are you sure the blood's on the door? And you know, he would go out and he would take them and said, see, there's the blood. It's on the door. See, the blood is there. I want to ask you, friend, have you personally had the blood of Jesus Christ applied to your life? The Bible tells us, in Ephesians chapter 1, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And Paul reiterates that in Colossians chapter 1. Has the blood been applied to your life, to your heart? You see, there was a personal responsibility in the lives of those people. They had to have the blood apply. There was no other way. No way of escape. And again, I ask you, has the blood been applied? I was so thrilled when Brother Johnny opened the service tonight with that beautiful hymn. For it confirmed to me the message that God had laid upon my heart. In fact, brother, if he hadn't opened with that, I would have probably closed with it. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing of our blood? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Oh, my friend, the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus. You know what God said here in this passage? God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over, I will hover over, I will protect you. And only the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can cleanse and protect from sin. Bring deliverance from the bondage of sin. Deliverance from the power of Satan. For the Bible says in 1 John 1 and 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. So we make no apologies for preaching on the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some years ago when I was in Britain, I was shown a new hymn book that had just come out. My brother, I was visiting with him, and I was there preaching, and he said to me, he said, what do you think of this book? And I looked at it, went through it, I said, not very much. He said, why? I said, they've left all the hymns on the blood out. He says, I wondered if you'd see that. He says, I just wanted to check, see. I said, well, that's one of the first things I look for. You see, a lot of people today want to get salvation. They want to go to heaven their own way. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, there is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. My friend, you either come God's way or you go your way and you go to a lost eternity. It was a night of personal responsibility. They had to have the blood applied. I ask you, my friend, has the blood been applied, young person? Daddy and mummy are Christians. They know the Lord. Are you sure the blood of Jesus Christ has been applied to your heart? Have you ever received him as your personal Savior? Young man, have you ever received him as your personal Savior?
Can you say tonight? Yes. I've been to Jesus for the cleansing power. I am washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. I know it. Oh, praise God if you can say that tonight. But if you can't, our invitation to you is to come and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. You know something? There are a lot of folks who have all kinds of ways to get saved. They tell you it's this thing or that thing or the other thing. You've got to, you know, accept Christ plus this. I want to tell you something. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 1 and chapter 5, you know what the theme of our song is going to be in heaven? It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto him who has loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. It's going to be a song of the redeemed in heaven. Hallelujah for the blood of the Lamb. Praise God for his precious blood. It's a night of personal responsibility. But you know what else? The scripture says the Lord told them they were to take that same lamb, they were to roast it with fire, with unleavened bread, bitter herbs, and they were to eat the Passover meal. And you know how they were to do it? They were to eat with their loins girded. You know, they all wore these long flowing robes that had them all tucked up because that night was going to be marching time. God's promise was certain. God's promise was sure. And the Bible says they came 430 years. They came out of Egypt. God said that was the night. And they also, they went out, and they went out in companies, in bands. They went out. God delivered them. Oh, friend, you know that tells me something else. Not only are we washed in the blood of the Lamb, the Lord Jesus Christ, but praise God, we're told that we can feed upon him through his word every day. Spiritual food. But then I want to think with you a third thing. About this night to remember, thirdly, it was a night of painful remorse. Painful remorse. In verses 29 and 30, it says, and it came to pass at midnight, that the Lord struck all the firstborn of the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh, who sat on his throne, to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, the firstborn of the livestock or the cattle. So Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians, and there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. You see, my friends, the Egyptians had opportunity to do so, but they did not do it. No blood was applied. And so, as God had promised, there was the death of the firstborn. I've often thought of this because in my generation, in my family, I am the firstborn. What would it be like? But it did not come because they were not warned. God had warned Pharaoh and the Egyptians again and again. The plagues and the judgments that fell on Egypt was a forewarning of what was coming. Had they repented, had they turned to the Lord, had they applied the blood, they would have been saved. And there are a lot of people who hear the message of the gospel. They hear the preacher preach the message of the gospel. But you know, you put it off and you put it off. And you've had repeated warnings. God has spoken forcibly, and you have not come to Christ, my friend. Listen, if you die and go out into a lost eternity, you go with the judgment of God upon you, and you go there because you chose to go. Because you refused to receive the message of the gospel. Like the Egyptians, repeated warnings. And when judgment fell, there was death all over the land of Egypt. The firstborn. No one escaped. You see, my friends, you cannot escape the judgment of God. The Bible says it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Oh, friend, tonight, I want to challenge you from God's word. To hear the message and to heed the message. And ask yourself the question. Have I been washed in the blood of the Lamb? It was a night of painful remorse.
My heart goes out when I read the words, there was a great cry in Egypt. But you know, it's sad, but that cry could have been avoided had they turned and sought the Lord, but they didn't. They wouldn't. And Pharaoh was the biggest one, of course, of it all. And I think of some who have heard the message here in Spanish Wells. I've been coming to Spanish Wells, I think, since 1957. Preaching here over the years and through the islands of the Bahamas. And, oh, I tell you, you see people who hear the gospel message and hear the need to be saved, and they know it. But one of the worst things, the devil's, somebody had said, one of the devil's wiles is wait a while. Put it off. Wait till tomorrow. Wait till you're older. Wait till you had a fling in life. Listen. The Bible says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. The Bible says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. God never promises tomorrow for the sinner. God's call to the unsaved is always today, in the here and now. He doesn't say, wait until tomorrow. In fact, the scripture says, boast not yourself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day will bring forth. And it also says, he who being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be cut off or destroyed, and that without remedy. And this is what happened here in Egypt. And there was a night of remorse. There was a great cry in Egypt. Oh, oh, how sad. There is sorrow when there is death in a family. But when we know that loved one knows the Lord, yes, we sorrow. We can't help it. The scripture says we do sorrow. I think some of the most painful experiences I have had as a servant of Jesus Christ is to hear the cry of a loved one, a family or family members who are weeping, because their loved one has died, and as far as they know, they've gone out into eternity with no hope. No hope! Not saved! Some years ago, one of our brethren died suddenly. We were there at the house, in fact, to help dress him. Getting ready. Doctor came, police came, all of things. And he had a heart condition, so it wasn't sudden. The doctor hadn't treated him for that. One of the brethren said to me, is it going to be a difficult funeral for you to take? I said, no. Difficult? No. Because I know where he is. I know he's with the Lord. I know his life. I know the time of fellowship we had. I know where he is. I said, the hardest funeral a preacher has to take is when he knows he has no hope for that person. What can you say? My friend, I pray and trust with God tonight that if you're here and you do not know the Savior, if you're still in your sin, that you'll come to Christ tonight, that you'll be washed in His precious blood, that you will apply the blood of Christ to your life, so it will not be a night or a time of painful remorse for those who love you, who are left behind if you go without Christ. Oh, the remorse! I pray tonight that there'll be remorse in your soul for your sin. There'll be repentance for your sin. And there will be a coming to Christ and accepting Christ. The Bible tells us in the book of the Revelation, chapter 20 and verse 50. It says, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the night that went down in history. It was a night to remember. It was a night of provided redemption. It was a night of personal responsibility. But it was also a night of painful remorse. The children of Israel left singing. They left Egypt singing. And they left the Egyptians sorrowing. Joy on one side, sorrow on the other. As I close this message tonight, I ask you the question again, my friends. Has the blood been applied to your life? Are you saved? Do you know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior? Can you honestly, truthfully say, I have received Christ? You know, there's a beautiful verse in John 1 and 12. It says, but as many as received Him, to them He gives the right, the power, the authority to become the children of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, friends tonight, will you receive Him? Will you accept Him? Will you come to Him? And you can leave this service this evening. Or if you're listening by radio, to bow your head and say, I'm going to receive Christ as my personal Savior. I am going to apply the blood of Christ at this very moment. You can rejoice and you can sing, I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. Let's bow our heads for a time of prayer. And as we close this service, I close with the invitation, and I want to ask you tonight, do you know the Lord Jesus? Have you received Him? Are you saved? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If you're not, why not tonight? Why not receive the Lord Jesus? Why not accept Him as your personal Savior? This is someone, before we go to prayer, it's here, and God has spoken to your heart. Just lift your hand up and say, I want you to remember me in prayer tonight. I'm not washed in the blood, but I want to be. This is someone, before we pray. You may not raise your hand, but you know you can remain behind. You can speak to myself or Brother Frank and others here. Say, well, I want to make sure that I have the blood of life in my life. I want to receive Christ as my personal Savior. Our Father, we thank You for this, Thy word that we have heard and spoken from this evening. We thank You, our Father, that the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ has been shed. And we pray tonight that it will be applied to the lives of those that do not know Him. We pray for those, our Father, who cannot truthfully, honestly say tonight, that the blood of Christ has been applied to their life. They have personally accepted Him. They have heard Him saying to them, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, they have opened the door to him. If they have not yet opened that door, may they do so now. And may they say, oh God, very simply, Lord Jesus, come into my life, come into my heart. Save me now, Lord Jesus. Help them to make that prayer, that decision tonight, O God. They could leave this service rejoicing that they have been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb. We thank You again for the service and for everyone here and those listening. Pray Your blessing to rest upon us. And again, Father, we pray that You'll save precious souls. We ask this, Lord, with thanksgiving in our Savior's precious, precious name. Amen. Let's sing number 99, what can wash away my stain? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And a friend tonight, if you're here without Christ and you'd like to be saved, you want to be, would you please make that desire known? We're going to stand, and after we sing this, the service will be over. But the invitation is not closed. That remains open. God bless you.